Okay. So I'm looking forward to jumping into this new world of Shehiyah, Chazara, and Mirtz Hashem, Hatmana coming up, all the Dina Drabban that swirl around Bishol. You already had a chance to more than get our feet wet in the opening 2.5 block. What I'd like to do in this Chabura is to overview a number of the key issues, particularly in Shehiyah, to sort of lay out, not to work through the Gemara, but to sort of lay out what a number of the key issues are conceptually. Gemara, we showed him Halacha L'maisa, and then coming weeks we can begin to fill in more and more of the details and really come out ultimately with a clarity Halacha L'maisa that flows from the sugyas. And I'll put out in advance now that a lot of what I'm going to be saying, even more probably than Bishul Chaburus, are shaped by Rav Shechter's Nuschos. He does not bear responsibility for anything I say, but even if it's not attributed, a lot of the way I'm going to present things are definitely shaped very much by his formulations. Including the fact that he points out that the sugya begins, and that's what we spoke about the other week, we got started with our limud in Beis Medrash, and the sugya really begins, the sugya of Shehiyah, even more than Hachazar, really begins in the end of the first parak, in a series of two mishnayos. The second mishnah that we saw there actually deals with Shehiyah, not leaving food on the limitation, leaving food on the fire from before Shabbos, but the story really begins with that first mishnah. It records a machlokas and level of doraisa between Beshai and Beis Hillel. So it sounds like it's a machlokas and level of doraisa about Shvisas Kalim. It goes back to Aseres Hadivros. It's clear that an adult Jew, male or female, came out to Malach Shabbos, and that's Elav, and that's Skila, and that's Karis. Clear. Then the psukim indicate that kids can't. Vincha Bitacha, we mean children. I am my father's son, but I'm also Atta. So why does the pasuk have to say Bincha? But that already, Mishra Halacha pointed out, and that's the Gemara is going to take up later in the Masechta, that they could. It's an Easter to have a child do Malacha on my behalf, even a child who's a Katan. But an Easter for me to have him do Malacha on my behalf. And then the Pesukim talk about Behemtecha. That's Bechal, I mean Behemtecha. Are my behemoth Mitzuvah? And are my animal Jewish? My cow is Jewish? My dog is Jewish? He or she is not allowed to do malacha. So Chazal said, now he's not the commanded being I am, but I'm commanded to practice Shvisas Behemto. And then all the time that's agreed to both by Shara and Gesil, that I'm not allowed to have an animal do malacha on my behalf. Animal can graze, animal can eat grass, even though that's the malacha of Kotza, that's fine. He's not bound by Yisra malacha. But I can't have him do malacha for me. He's working on my behalf. That's a violation of Shvisas Behemto. That's agreed to by both Beshan and Besil. Machlokas is how far do you push it. Shahil say it only applies to Behema. Beshame says it can even apply to inanimate objects. And that's what's called Shvisas Kelim. And that's that mission we saw near the end of the first parak of Masechet Shabbos. That was where the Daf Zayin. That was Yud Zayin. Yeah, Yud Zayin on the base. And a whole series of examples of a variety of malachas. But Beis Shammai say that I can't set up the system to do them in advance of Shabbos, and the malachas should continue to work throughout Shabbos. Sounds like a Shabbos clock, you know, along the lines of a Shabbos clock. I'm going to set up a dyeing vat and put the fabric in before Shabbos, and then the fabric is going to absorb the dye over the course of Shabbos. I'm going to set up a trap on Erev Shabbos, and over the course of Shabbos, the trap will work and catch whatever it is, animals, birds, fish. And more examples. So that's the mission in Zion and Beis. Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai say that's a violation. I'm not doing a malacha on Shabbos, but my kelim are. I set up my kelim to do malacha, just like I'm not allowed to have my animals do malacha for me over the course of Shabbos. It's a violation of Shvisas Behemto. It's not an Isser Skila, but it is but there is a binding halacha, the Raisa, based on the Psukim. So Beis Shammai say that applies not only to my animal, it even applies to kelim. And Beis Hillel disagree. So that's the machlokas. That's the primary machlokas the Mishnah Yudayim Beis. Then the next Mishnah, getting very close to the end of the Perek on Daf Testament Beis, the Mishnah then presents, without attribution to Beis Shammai, that you can't put food on the fire right before Shabbos. It needs to be cooked already come Shabbos. I can't be tzola, basar, beitza, Vasar Batzal Beitza. I think it's a rare example of alliteration in Mishnayos. Basar batzal beitza. Mishnah says you test on beitza. If I put on it, it has to be grilled before Shabbos. I can't put it on. It's only getting done over the course of Shabbos. And that is what the Mishnah, the first Mishnah in the third parak picks up with. Second parak is losing Talakas Neris. And then the parak here comes back to pick up where this Mishnah, the end of the first parak, left off. To talk about what? To talk about when we started using the terminology of Shehiyah, the Mishnah does, and then the Gemara does more. Right, that's Shehiyah. To leave food on the fire from before Shabbos, it's going to be cooking over the course of Shabbos. That's an Iser of Shehiyah. And that apparently is not subject to Machlokes Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. How do we know that? Well, the Mishnah didn't mention, it's the next Mishnah. The Mishnah all of a sudden isn't talking about Beis Shammai Omrim, don't Beis Hillel Omrim do. And you may have seen the Gemara on the first Mishnah, the Gemara that comes off the Mishnah Daf Yud Zayin, gets involved in this. That's the Bab Yud Ches Amud Aleph, and it really picks up in Yud Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara starts trying to figure out, one second, I understand, so why certain cases of Mutter, Aser, how did this all work? How does this all work? So the series of important lines of the Gemara Yud Ches Amud Beis are relevant to Mechit. To Shehiyah, and one of them is early on, the Gemara quotes a series of statements from the Tanoim, Brises here and there, that you're not allowed to set up the food. The Gemara says, is that only Beshehil, Beshama, is it not Beshehil? I said, no, it's even Beshehil, this is Xerah, Shem Yechata Begachalim. We're worried about the stoking the coals. In other words, generally, to encapsulate it, Shefta has a nice twist in the way he thinks about it. Generally, Shvisas came as Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. It sounds like a Machlokes on the level of Deraisa. It sounds like the Shammai would say it's Deraisa, or violation of Asei Deraisa. Beis Hillel would say Mutter. Bishul is an exception. By Bishul, Beis Hillel agreed that Midrabanan, albeit, it's also. But it's not because Bishul is different. Shefta Nusach is because eating is different. It's not anything about the Malach of Bishul. As a matter of fact, it's not really Bishul related at all. If you do Shehiyah, if I leave food on the fire without a blech, we'll get to details in a moment, in a way that's a violation of Shehiyah, I leave the food on the fire from before Shabbos, the cooking over the course of Shabbos, it's not that I'm violating a problem of Bishul. According to Beis Shammai, it is Bishul related. According to Beis Shammai, this is Shvisas Kelim of Bishul. And according to Beis Hillel, Shvisas Kelim was fine. There's no Bishul problem at all. The problem is Shem Yechate, meaning we're worried, maybe the Gemara Krisus describes it, I'm going to poke the coals, I'm going to violate, we would hold Havara, maybe Mechaba also. I'm in violation of this Malachas because I'm getting some of the coals stoked up and putting some of the coals out. So I'm in violation of one or both of Mechaba or Mavir. It's not really a Sir Bishul. I said, why is this different? All of a sudden here, the Tanam are Choshesh. All of a sudden here, Beisil are Choshesh. All the other cases are Shvisas Kalim. Beisil are not worried I'm going to get involved. All of a sudden here, they're worried I'm going to get involved. I'm going to move the process forward. I'm going to end up doing Malach of Chatira. I mean, it may be Bishul also. If I were to stoke the coals and there's food on top, certainly it's not Yaz Lesbo. That's Bishul too. It's Karuvi Bishul. But the issue really is that eating, it's not that Bishul is different, that eating is different. It's because people love food. Jews love food, people in general love food. So if I want to eat, the food's not ready. I thought it would be ready, it's not ready. It's not ready as soon as I want it, or I decide I want it even sooner than we originally planned. So I'm going to try to hasten the cooking process so I can eat more quickly. How am I going to do that? I'm going to have to adjust the fire. I'm going to have to stick a poker in the coals and try to build up the fire so I'll get more heat going and be able to cook it more quickly. So again, Beis Shammai would say this is the Shvisas Kalim problem. Beis Hillel say this is not, we don't believe in Shvisas Kalim, but here's a rare instance where it is forbidden to set up a system on Erev Shabbos so that Malach will be done on Shabbos. But it's not really a violation of Bishul. It's a concern, it's that eating is different. Eating is different, therefore we're worried that you're going to be Mechate, which you be Mechaba, Mavir, maybe Bishul also, but it's really a Gzeir Drabayan of Shema Yechate. And now let's talk a drop more about that before we move on to get more into the details. Hold on just a moment. Just to talk for a moment more before we get into some more of the details of Shehiyah, the notion of it being a gzeira. So Rav Shechter has a beautiful articles about the following concept. I'll give it to you in a brief format. And he points that this is a general issue across halacha, but it has particular application to Shabbos. And we think about Dimei Drabanan in Shabbos, they come in two flavors, at least two flavors. In the world of malacha, in Drabanan extensions, sometimes you have something which is a malacha midrabanan, sometimes you have something which is a gzera midrabanan. So for instance, if I'm going to write with my elbow, I'm going to write with disappearing ink, or something like that, writing, but it's in a way that's not shal kayama, disappearing ink, or I'm writing with it in an awkward way, I'm holding the pencil in my mouth, so it's kalacha. Yeah, I'm writing, but it's in a way that's not in violation of malacha d'oraisa, so then I could think of as, it's also midrabanan, chazal says, it's also midrabanan, I mean, midrabanan, it's a malacha. I mean, a Torah is only malacha if I do it the normal way. And then midrabanan, if I do it with my toes, with my fingers, with my teeth, that's kosev derabanan. Whereas, let's say, a Jew is forbidden to make kinyanim in general on Shabbos, engage in business on Shabbos, I can't be engaged in those transactions on Shabbos. Why? Gzeira shema yichtov, the Gemara tells us. But it's not that, we're worried, many transactions have generate receipts. So that's a normal thing to do, and generating a receipt on Shabbos, to write a receipt, or to print a receipt, obviously, that's a real malacha d'oraisa of kosev. But let's say I go to the store, or whatever it is, I buy something off of you. I give you money, you give me the item, we don't write any receipt. Well, would you say that's clearly awesome in Drabanan? Clearly awesome in Drabanan, you got the tshuva, and then Easter Rabbanan, mekachu memkar on Shabbos. Would you say that that's kosev midrabanan? Midrabanan I wrote? No, I didn't. No, I didn't do any act of writing. That's not a form of writing midrabanan. It's usher because I may come to write. Right? Again, one type of drabanan is a malacha drabanan. This is a writing midrabanan. This is a form of writing. I'm writing my left hand. Maybe that's only writing midrabanan. Maybe writing my teeth. Maybe it's writing midrabanan. But she'enikane the mekach umemka, the transaction is clearly not kosa. It's not a malacha at all. It's a gzeir drabanan. So the concept. What do you mean? It could. It has particular application in Shabbos, but you're right. You can definitely find that sort of idea of is it a ma'isa ism drabanan or is it a gzeir atu something? Right. That could apply. It could live out of Shabbos also. Rav Shaft has beautiful articles about this. But the Rambam's excerpt a little bit just in terms of developing our thinking. Now that we have the concept, some of the ways in which it plays out. One thing to think about is, let's say, shehi is clearly a gzera. It wouldn't say that by leaving food on the fire before Shabbos, I'm midrabanan stoking the coals. I'm lighting the fire midrabanan. No, right? I'm worried. We're setting yourself up for you're in danger. It's clearly a gzera. Now, gzera sounds like it should be more kal. I'm not actually doing a malacha even drabanan. It's just gzera, but ironically, in certain ways, gzeras have wider reach. Consider the fact that malacha is something you always violate out of day masa, right? Probably by definition, according to I think most acharonim. But malacha involves a maisa. It will be nonsensical to speak about doing a malacha b'shev al tasa. To passively violate malacha, what does that mean? But by gzeros, you can passively violate gzeros, absolutely. I mean, think about Shehiyah. Think about Shehiyah. When do I violate Shehiyah? Not on Erev Shabbos, presumably. Presumably I violate it when Shabbos comes in and the food is there. Right? If I put food on the fire Erev Shabbos without a blech in a way that's a violation of Shehiyah, then I change my mind. Erev Shabbos, I take it off. And I violate Shehiyah at 2 o'clock in the afternoon when I put it on? No. When Shabbos came in at 4:30, it was already off the fire, I'm good. I violate Shehiyah passively when Shabbos starts and the food is still there. Right? Gezerah lends itself to, could be, doesn't have to be, but Gezerah could lend itself to violation even the Shev Val Tasa. Another example is, of Shev Val Tasa, is I didn't do it. A non-Jew did it. A non-Jew knew, my non-Jewish neighbor knew that I would appreciate, he saw that the urn got unplugged, he plugged it back in, whatever it is, right? He saw that I was going to end up with cold food, so he decided to be a good friend, and coming from a place of friendly motivation, put the food on the fire, put the kettle on the fire, whatever it is, set in the bid shahiyah. He did shahiyah. He put it on Shabbos. Right? Or put it on before Shabbos, as the case may be. Right? He put it on before Shabbos. I didn't do anything. right? But I'm still in violation of Shehiyah. Because the situation, it's really, Malacha will always be Adei Maisa. Malacha is always an Iser Maisa. A Gezerah could be an Iser Totsah. Not so much I'm doing a particular Maisa Iser, but the situation is problematic. There's food on the fire. That's a problem. Food on an uncovered fire, that's a problem. Even though I set it up before Shabbos, even though the non-Jew, I didn't do anything. It's just, I'm allowing it to persist. If I walk into the house and I see that the non-Jew set up the food, I'm okay to take it off. Well, why? Shehiyah. What do you mean? I didn't do anything. Yeah, but Shehiyah, you don't have to do anything. The situation is the problem. And so that's going to shape our thinking. Example of this sort of thinking of once it's a gzeira, you could violate the Sheva al Tasa. Whether it's Sheva al Tasa, I did an example. We were talking about, like, I set up the food on Erev Shabbos, and then when Shabbos kicks in, that's when that there happens. Rukiv Eger has a tshuva where he talks about a different example of that, going back to Mekach Umemka, the gzeira we spoke about before, the business transactions. He says, let's say I set up a transaction Erev Shabbos to take effect on Shabbos. The example he gives is Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, one of those unusual years, Erev Hashanah is on a Tuesday, Erev Pesach on Shabbos, Purim Meshulash, Erev Pesach on Shabbos, you want to sell the chametz. Let's say I want to retain the chametz for Friday night, and then sell it Shabbos morning. So if you go, why? If you don't have access to Matzah Shira, you want to have real chametz for Friday night, but then you want to sell the chametz Shabbos morning, then you can give a point that it's going to get a little complicated. Because I'll sit down with Mr. Brown and Erev Shabbos, we'll do the Ma'aseh Kinyan Erev Shabbos, but we only want it to take effect on Shabbos. So from a Kinyan perspective, that's fine. We have that in the world of Kinyanim, to do a Ma'aseh where the Kinyan is Chal Achaz Mayim, that's great. The problem is, but from a Shabbos perspective, maybe that's Mecha Chomemka. I'm not doing a Ma'aseh Kinyan on Shabbos, but the Kinyan is taking effect on Shabbos. So we could later talk to, so the classic example, who would ever want to do that? The classic example was a sort of unusual case of Erev Pesach Shalias B'Shabbos. Nowadays it happens all the time. eBay is not quite as popular, I suspect, as it once was. But to put money down on an auction that's going to end on Shabbos, so you have to start looking in the terms and conditions and figure out, does that mean that the king is chal then, or the king is chal when I pay? That's not a simple thing. To have a king be chal on Shabbos, which he says that may be a problem of the Mecca. I'm never going to the store and buy something on Shabbos, but now you are, maybe. Right? But again, that's all rooted back in this notion that if it's a gzeira as opposed to malacha drabanan, then it lends itself to being violated even Shev al Tasa. I might have set up the system beforehand, but it's kicking in on Shabbos. Maybe I'm not doing anything, but the non-Jew set it up, but I'm allowing it to persist. It's an iser. It could be an iser totsa as opposed to an iser maisa. And again, this feeds back into the point made before to recognize it sounds like Shehiyah is sort of an extension of Bishul. It's really not. It's a gzeira. It's a gzeiro shemi echata. Okay, questions? And then we'll move on. We'll jump into a group of two movement. Yeah?
Why would we ever say that before Shabbos can be a problem on Shabbos? What would be the Rabbanan aspect of that? Maybe Shabbat would say it's a problem when she says Kevin, but he's still having a problem.
No. Well, Chazal forbade kinyanim on Shabbos shema yavo lichtov. So Rabbi Eger says, now that it's a gzeira, he doesn't say exactly these words, but essentially he says, essentially saying, well, it's not a, I'm not saying that buying is a kosev drabanan. Because then he would say, look, you did your ma'isa on Erev Shabbos. He said, no, buying and selling is a gzeira shamiyachta. So if it's a gzeira, then we have to ask ourselves, how did Chazal formulate that iser? They formulate as, it's also to do an act, they formulate as iser pu'ula, or they formulate as iser tosah. You can't have this situation. Shehiyah is always b'shev al tasa. Mekach Memkar is not always b'shev al tasa. Usually Mekach Memkar anyways b'kum vaseh, because usually the mice and the chalos are simultaneous. But if you choose, for whatever strategic reason, to separate them, because they're especially as b'shabbos, because you're placing a bid, whatever it is, if you choose to have the mice on Friday and the chalos is on Shabbos, so then you have to ask yourself, well, how is this? How did Chazal structure this Israelbon? How did Chazal formulate Israelbon? Then you can ask, it's an open question by many Xeris. Did they set up as Iser, Meiser, Sototza? Shehiyah is not much of a question. It's clearly an Iser Totza, because it's always, I'm never active on Shabbos. If I'm active on Shabbos, that's not Shia. That's going to be Hachazar or something. Okay. So that's sort of the core idea, again, placing Shia in a framework, the context of Shia's Kalim, and understand this is, for Beis Hillel, this is, and we possibly have Beis Hillel, this is unique as Gzeir, which the Gemara explicitly tells us on Yud Ches Amud Beis, the Gzeir Shema Yechata. Yeah.
Excellent.
Good, very good point. The Gemara talks about on Yud Ches Amud Beis, maybe it's not the same, and we'll get to this as we get into more details. How about if I'm setting up a pot? We touched on this Gemara in some of the Bishul Chaburas. Yud Ches Amud Beis, if I set up a pot with dye, and so maybe that's different. It is different because, well, it's not quite the same drive. I can't wait to wear that sweater. I mean, it's not quite the same. Some people do love their clothing, but it's not quite the same as I can't wait to sink my teeth into that succulent steak. I can't wait to get the chance. Different people have different appetites, but there are a greater urgency in terms of food. So yeah, that is an important point. That is an important point. And Blinetta will have a chance to dig into that. There are a number of Gemaras on Yud Ches and Beis. It's important to keep our eyes open. As we progress through Rishon and Gimel, we're going to be seeing a couple of different Dinim, one of which we'll even touch on. One we'll even touch on soon. But let's go step by step. Let's talk a little bit about when Shehiyah applies in terms of how cooked the food is, and then maybe let's talk a little bit about Grufo Ktuma. And if we have time, I want to be mindful of time. Try to stick to 45, maybe 50 minutes. And then if there's time, maybe we'll talk a drop about Hachazara, if not now. But again, so I wanted to look at three major zones in terms of an overview of Shehiyah. Number one, we just finished Unit 1, which is sort of the framework, the context, the Shvisas Kalim issue, and the Gzeir issue, appreciating what Gzeir is. So now let's jump into the question of at what point in the cooking process does this apply. Now we have the Mishnah we mentioned before, the Mishnah that really starts, even before the Mishnah in Kira, even before the Mishnah in the third parak, is that Mishnah near the end of the first parak. And Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, which again says, Beshar Beisil seems to both agree, that ain't solon basar batzol veitza, kadeshi solon bodim. You can't put the meat onto the grill Erev Shabbos unless it's going to be grilled while it's still day. And the question is, well, as Gemara already asked, how much? Right? The Gemara gets into this machlokas in a very circuitous way in the third parak. Gemara gets into this machlokas in a very straightforward way in the first parak. The Chaf from Ralph, Gemara says, well, what does that Mishnah mean? It sounds like if it's cooked, it has to be cooked before Shabbos, then we're fine. Right? If it's not cooked before Shabbos, then we have a problem. Right. Now, the Mishnah in Kiras explains, if you have a problem, you can solve it with Grufa Ktuma. Okay, but first let's talk about what the problem is. What's the problem? So when is there a problem of Shehiyah without proper solution of Grufa Ktuma? So that's what the Gemara raises here. There is a machlokas. There is a Shita of Chananya. The Kol Shu Kamachal Ben Drusah, it's not a problem. Chananya said, the whole issue of Shia is only if it's before Machal Ben Drusai. When the Mishnah says Kadeshi Tzolu, it just means get me to again, Machlokas Rashi and Rambam, whether Machal Ben Drusai is a third cook, a half cook. We spoke about this in the Bishul Chaburas, right, who Ben Drusai was. He was this gangster, and he would eat his food pretty rare. Now, whether that's half or a third, Machlokas Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi is actually right here. It's the first Rashi, the Gemara in Chafam and Aleph. Rashi says, Ben Drusai is a listen, umevashel bishulo shlish. Rashi here says Chafam and Aleph, shlish bishulo, Rambam tells Chati bishulo, okay? Machlokas, but either way, the concept, Chananya says, and again, and just to be clear, Machal Ben Drusai is relevant for actual issues of bishul, which the Gemara here in Chafam and Aleph talks about in a Drabanan context in terms of Ben Bishul Akum, and we saw at the beginning of the year, Gemara Menachos, ironically, have to go to Menachos to find the, and then Gemara is later in the third parak also, that Machal Ben Drusai is relevant for Bishul. To get food from before Machal Ben Drusai to beyond Machu Bendrusai, let's say if you assume like Rashi, it's a third cooked. That food is 25% cooked. I'm going to get it to 35% cooked. Boom, you violate Bishul. What happens after that is Machlokas Rishonim. But certainly to get food over the Machu Bendrusai line is definitely Bishul Doraisa. And it's also the definition of Bishul, the way here tells us with respect to Bishul Akum. If the food was 25% cooked, and the non-Jew takes it and puts it back on the fire and gets it to 35% cooked, gets it to 55% cooked, that is Bishul Akum. He moved it over the Machu Bendrusai line. That was an act of Bishul Akum. Good. Hananya says that Machu Bendrusai, and so far, that is relevant to Bishul is not a matter of dispute. What is a matter of dispute is how about against Shehiyah, which, as we said, Shehiyah and Bishul are not, they're related in terms of thematically related, but not the same thing. Shehiyah is not Bishul, it's not an extension of Bishul. The question is, but Hananya says, look, for a similar reason, it's also relevant to Shehiyah. In other words, Hananya is a big maker. Hananya says, as long as the food is a third cooked, a half cooked before Shabbos, you can put it on the fire, or you can stand the fire without a blech, no problem, no Isser of Shehiyah. While the Chachamim, you get to the third parak where it says, not everyone agrees with Hananya. The Chachamim say, no. Chachamim say, if the food is machal ben drusai before Shabbos, that's not good enough. You left the meat grilling, and it's rare done, it's a half done, that's not good enough. Chacham say, machal ben drusai is after machal ben drusai, you still have an iser of Shehiyah. As you saw, the Gemara talks about a further machlokes within the sheet of the Chacham, machlokes ha-tanoim, whether is there a Shehiyah after Machal Ben Drusai? And then Machal, because the Gemara has later on, what's the Sheet of the Chacham? How far does it go? Right. Hanani says that the finish line is Machal Ben Drusai. Chacham say, no, it's not. So what is the finish line? So that, as you saw in the opening sugya, that's a Machal, is the finish line Mavushal Kol Sarko, or the finish line in Stamek Viralo? So just to explain what that means, all the Amorim agree that until it's fully cooked, Chachamim would say, if the food is not fully cooked, Chachamim would disagree with Hananya and say, you can't do Shehiyah without a blech. The question is how about once you reach the point of Mavushal Kol Sarko? You're past Machal Ben Drusai, which is either 33% or 50% cooked. You even passed the 100% mark. It's fully done. It's absolutely ready to eat. It's not a question of it's still half raw, it's a little rare. No, it's fully done. But even if it's fully done, we could take it off and serve it, no problem. But for many foods, once you pass the point of Mavushal Kol Sarko, which is a line, you're then in a series of two different zones. For many foods, when you pass the point of Mavushal Kol Sarko, if you let it stay on the fire for a while, think about chont. Right? The chont's already done. But if you let the chont go for another couple hours, it'll be even better. It'll be juicier, maybe that some more liquid will evaporate off, will be thicker, maybe the flavors will continue to meld, maybe some of the food will disintegrate, it'll become even more geschmack. That's what we call mitstamik v'yafalo. It's breaking down and it's making it better. At a certain point, you're out of the zone of mitstamik v'yafalo, you're into the zone of mitstamik v'ralo, where it's continuing to go and it's just getting worse. Maybe it's not inedible, but the longer at that point, the longer it stays, the worse it gets. And it's in your best interest to take it off the fire. So everyone agrees that once you're in the mitstamek viralo zone, you don't need a blech, because I have no desire to hasten the cooking process. If anything, I'd rather take it off or slow it down. Right? There's certainly no concern of shemi yachata, of trying to build up the fire to get the cooking to go more quickly, once you're in the mitstamek viralo zone. There certainly is a concern. I guess you could divide it into, you know, the marker. You could divide sort of, I guess you could imagine like sort of, that's fine. You can imagine like four zones. If you imagine that this is raw, and this line is Machal Ben Drusai. Okay.
You know where you're
Right, so up until Machal Ben Drusai, Hananya says you need a blech. Once you pass Machal Ben Drusai, Hananya says no blech. Chacham said, no, you need a blech all the way till Mavushal Kol Sarko, and then according to some Amoraim, even throughout Mistamek V'yafalo. Once you get to Mistamek V'ralo, then everyone agrees that even the Chacham hold, you do not need a blech. There is no Isser of Shehiyah and Achzara. Yeah, we'll talk about Kedei Rechaisa, but first some questions. I don't know who's... Okay, yeah.
The
That's the point right after Kol Tzarko.
No, you, for most foods, right after Kol Tzarko is Mitzdamek V'yafalo. It's done, but it's still improving. And then eventually you get to a point where you turn, you get this tipping point where there's no improvement left, and now there's no way to go up and down. It's just going to start to dry out and get less tasty. It's not Ein Ro'eh L'Achila, but it's trending downwards.
So the Chacham would say, if it's going to be, if once it's Kol Tzarko, if it's going to get Mitzdamek V'yafalo, you still can't do it, it has to be Kol Tzarko, and it's not going to get better after that.
The Chacham definitely hold that until Mevushal Kol Tzarko you need a blech. During Mitzdamek V'yafalo is a machlokas in the Gemara with the Chacham hold, and during Mitzdamek V'ralo everyone agrees that there's no need for a blech. And the Chananya said you only need the blech before Malcha ben Drusa. Question.
By Mitzdamek V'ralo, why aren't we concerned if Shema Yechaveh?
That's interesting. Why would you put the fire out? I'm not sure. Offhand, I would say one of two things. Number one, there's an easy solution. You don't need to put the fire out. You can just take the pot off. If I want to get it to cook more, the only way to do that is via malacha. If I wanted to get it to cook, to stop cooking, I could put the fire out, but I could also just take the pot off. So it's not as much of a concern that your appetite for food will lead to a malacha. Number one. Number two is, that's already a whole new gezeirah. So what are the chances Chazal would introduce a whole new gezeirah just for the situation with Stamek V'ralo? So a mislo shchicha. That's not a very common case of the food on the fire to begin with at that point. Right? And that you're desiring to leave it on. And the whole thing is sort of an unusual situation. They probably would fall into the rubric of a mislo shchicha l'gaz v'rabana. And Chazal would make a gezeirah when there's enough cause to warrant, to give them the right, to authorize them to make the gezeirah. Which means, you know, this gzera will really make an impact in terms of avoiding averus, and this case is going to come up often enough that the gzera would matter. Okay. So again, that's the machlokas chanayin lechachavim. Does shehiya, isra shehiya apply after machal ben terusoi? Chanayin says no, it only applies before you need a blech, after you don't need a blech. Chacham says no, isra shehiya applies even after machal ben terusoi, you still need a blech until Kol Tzarko, or until you know transition from Mitzdamek V'yafalo to Mitzdamek V'ralo. Now, two things to know about, the two details that I would throw in, and then I'll take more questions, number one is an interesting machlokas harishonim, and it appears in Shulchan Aruch, and Shechter has some interesting stories associated with this din. Rabbi Kiva Eger in Baruch Shulchan Aruch quotes a Rashba who wants to know about the following. Hananya said the whole din of Isser of Shehiya, or to put differently, the whole solution of Gruf Ktuma, the Mishnah in the third parak, it all applies only Kodem Macha Ben Drusai. Shkoyach. Thank you very much. Which is perfect. Let's chart this out so everything will be clear. Right? We start at zero. Let's back up and we'll put this, now thank you for the marker. Let's chart it out and then we'll put the Rashba into place. I start from zero, right? The food is absolutely wrong. And then as I'm cooking, it's going up and getting better, right? Until I get to 100%. So let's say either here or here, somewhere here, we'll call this the line of Machal Ben Drusai, right? This, I got to 100% fully cooked, that's the line of Mevushal Kol Tzarko. At that point, those are lines. Those are points that I pass. Then, the food's already cooked, but continues to improve until I reach a sort of a peak, and then it starts to trend downward. Right? So this zone is called the stomach V'yafalo. Let's write it up. This zone, once it starts trending downward, is called Mitzdamek V'ralo. Right, so you can think about sort of like basically four zones. There's before it's even Kamachal Ben Drusai, and then it's past Machal Ben Drusai, but still not Mevushal Kol Tzarko, and then there's Mitzdamek V'yafalo, then there's Mitzdamek V'ralo. Right, so to recap now, that thank you again for the marker. Now, visually, to recap what we said before, Chananya says the whole Isra Shia is only in zone one. When you pass Machab and Drusa, do whatever you want, no need for a blech. Chacham say, no! Is Isra Shia even in zone two? And the Gemara's Machlokas, where the Chacham would even apply Isra Shia to zone three. So in zone two, or possibly even zone three, you need to have a blech. Right? How about in zone one, according to the Chacham? But certainly you can't go without a blech. Right? There's clearly Isra Shia there. Now, what's interesting, often you would have said, what's in Shulchan Aruch, is that for the Chachamim, you know, zone one and two, maybe even three, you need a blech. Rabbi Kiyayi quotes a Rashba who says, no! Chananya said in zone one, it's Shishia, but a blech fixes it. Gufa Ketuma is a viable solution. But Rabbi Kiyayi quotes a Rashba who says, but according to Chachamim, if you're so far away from being cooked, even a blech is not even going to help. You're not allowed to even that's the chumrah of the Rajba, that if it's not kemachal ben drusai, when Shabbos comes in, you cannot even have it on the fire with the blech. And let me make that, hold on a moment, let me make that practical. In other words, let's say I want to have hot water, but now you're probably plugging an urn. Right? Once upon a time you would have taken a kettle and put it on the fire. Either way, let's talk about a kettle on the fire just to make it simpler. I'm going to put water on the fire on a blech so I can have tea at the end of my Suda Friday night. How hot does the water have to be when I put it on? So if you follow the Shulchan Aruch, say, look, as long as you have a blech, it can even be cold water. I'll put cold water on the fire before Shabbos. And Shabbos is going to come in. I'll put cold water on right before Hadlakas Neiris, or right before I go to Mincha, right before our Knesset on Shabbos. It's still going to be plenty cold when Shabbos starts. It's not even Machab under Shabbos. That's fine. There's a blech. Good. And then by the time, you know, by the time we're done the Suda, it'll be hot. Right? That's according to the standard approach. According to the position of the Rashba, however, if Kiyayi quotes, he says, no, you better make sure your water is hot before Shabbos starts. You can't put up a cold water 5 minutes before Shabbos. That's not kemachal ben drusai. Blech doesn't even help you. That's the chumra of the Rashba. So that's one thing to think about in charting this out. And then the one other thing to think about that I'd love to take questions is the idea of kedera chaisa. Just to throw one more piece into here, and that's the Gemara. The Gemara says that if you have sometimes, ironically, if the food is very uncooked, it can help me. Up until now, the whole flow of the Chananya Chachamim is the more cooked it is, the better we are. Because the closer I am to be able to eat it, I could already eat it, I'll be able to eat it soon. So usually we assume the more raw, the more chamor. Gemara does have an ironic exception called Kedera Chaisa, which is if I have, something that is so raw, not just so raw, but takes so long to cook. Not water. Water, if I take cold water, I put it on the fire. So by the time, an hour from now, it will not take me an hour or two to have water ready for tea. Right? Or if I'm putting up vegetables, it's not going to take that long. But if I have a little fire, and I have raw meat, in a pan, that takes hours and hours and hours to get ready. So if it's raw, really raw, and something that cooks for a long time, then the Gemara says, look, it's so, no matter what you do, it's not going to be ready for Friday night Suda. No matter how much you stoke the coals, it's taking hours, and then it's not going to help you. You can stoke the coals all you want, it's not going to be ready tonight, and you don't need any stoking for it to be ready for tomorrow. So if the Gemara says, if you have a pot full of raw and slow-cooking food, or even a pot with one piece of raw and slow-cooking food, there's one slab of raw beef in the pot of cholent, then the Gemara says, then you don't need a blech. Why? That's the rule of Kedera Chaisa, because there's no concern. The whole issue is Shem Yechata, yeah, but if you have a piece of meat that all the stoking in the world won't get it ready for tonight, and without any stoking, it'll anyways be ready for tomorrow. Right? So that's a special exception. Again, sometimes over here, you'll have an ironic little bubble, an ironic kula. Again, it's not just that it's raw, it's raw and beef, or something that takes so long to cook, which is why Rav Henke and the Rav apparently both said they thought that Bizman Hazeh, this kula, if the Gemara has it, and they say Bizman Hazeh, the case no longer exists, because a gas-fired stovetop is far more efficient and provides far more heat than a good old-fashioned coal stove, and you could have it ready by... so you'll make the suda go for an extra half hour. Some more Divrei Torah, more singing, more shmuzi. You can play it out a little bit. They're no longer, as I said, there no longer are things that, you know, it's going to take you a minimum of 8 hours anyways to get cooked. That reality no longer exists. That's where Henk and the Rav argued with modern kitchen technology. But again, just to encapsulate, then we're going to take questions. The first, we want to talk about three units in terms of Shahia. First unit was about context, Shisas Kalim and Gezeira. The second unit, which we just discussed, is a question of when does Shahia apply. Machlokes Chanan and Chachamim. Machlokes, we saw one detail was, Gemara has, how far does Shita Chacham extend? Is Mitzvah for Yafalo still a problem or not? A second issue we discussed is, what is the Shita Chachamim before Machlo Ben Drusai? Is it, does Grufa Ketumah still help you? Or is it super, like a super Isser of Shahia? I mean, the Rashi says, not only is Shahia Isser, but you can't even solve it with a blech with a group for Ketumah. And then the third issue was this idea the Gemara has, a special exception the Gemara has for a slab of beef or something like that, of Kedera Chaisa, which might not apply, is my question. Yeah.
So is the Rashba applying after Kedera Chaisa? Because if the Rashba applies through Kedera Chaisa, then he thinks it's the Gemara.
Right, no. The Rashba definitely accepts the idea of Kedera Chaisa, but as I was pointing out before, remember, Kedera Chaisa only applies to certain types of food.
So the Rashba would either apply to things that Kedera Chaisa doesn't apply to,
right. Water is not Kedera Chaisa. Water can be ready.
Would the Rashba apply by pieces of meat that's beyond the point of Kedera Chaisa? Meaning, let's say I have a piece of meat beyond
it's 20% cooked. 20% cooked, so we made a hashara, you know, in 3 hours it could be ready. Yeah, but if the Rashba, I believe the Rashba accepts it during Kedera Chaisa, he's working about it. Kedera Chaisa is a special bubble. Again, it only applies to certain types of food at a certain point.
So
correct.
It's only applying to things that Kedera Chaisa would not apply to.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah, question.
How is this not Bishul of Mamish? I mean, we put the food right before Shabbos, and since it's so raw, I mean, that is cooking on Shabbos.
Correct, but I didn't do. Remember, I set it up before Shabbos. If you held like Beis Shammai, then that would be a Shvisas Kalim problem of Bishul. If I put the food on Shabbos, that's Bishul. If I put the food on before Shabbos, it's not going to be Bishul. It may though be correct. It may though be Yisr of Shahia. And here can we come back to a point that we kept making when we were talking about the In Bishul Achar Bishul, when we learned In Malachas Bishul, is that the whole Yisr of Shahia, number one, typically, or maybe always, could be solved with the Grufa Ketumah, and certainly could be solved, we're going to talk about Grufa Ketumah in a moment, certainly could be solved by being Shalom Al Gabe Ha'esh. In other words, Shahia, the issue of Shahia is only on the fire. If it's near the fire, so there's warmth going on, that's not an issue of Shahia. If it's Bishul, it's Bishul. But if the food is fully cooked, I'm going to put it, you know, we'll get to on top of the chum pot, whatever, but I'm going to put it next to the fire, but not on the fire. That's not, if it's fully cooked, it's not Bishul, and if it's next to the fire, it's not Shahia. But if it's on the fire, even though it's fully cooked, to put it on is Achazara, that's a problem. If I left there from before Shabbos, cooked or not cooked, I'm not doing Bishul because I put it on there of Shabbos. But the fact that I'm letting it sit there, for Beis Shammai would be a problem with Shvisas Kalim. We don't possibly Beis Shammai, clearly, but could be a problem of what's it called? Could be a problem of Gzeira Sham Yechata, the Isra of Shia. Let's talk briefly, I want to be mindful of the time. Let's talk briefly about Unit 3, a little bit, about Grufa Uktuma. Right? The Mishnah, as I said before, the Mishnah in Daf Yates, and the first paragraph tells you there's an Isra of Shia. The Mishnah on Daf, or is it Lamed Vav, the first Mishnah in the third paragraph, tells me that there's a solution, which is Gerufa Uketumah. As you saw, the Gemara points out that the Mishnah on Lama Vav Beis might also be introducing a second Iser, an Iser of Hachazara. We're not going to touch that now. We'll talk about that in the future. But the Mishnah on Lama Vav Beis introduces, yes, we told Daf Yotes is an Iser of Shia, but don't worry, there's a solution, Gar Fokata. Right? Then when it only applies to the substantive fire material, the real coals, right? Gefas Ve'etzim, as opposed to Kasha or Gavava, they have just like paper or straw that just, you know, burns into nothing, nothing to stoke, okay? But a sustained fire, whether it's coals or whether it's a gas fire, there's going to be a Iser Shehiyah, but you can solve it with Grufa Uktuma. Whenever the Iser applies, or almost every time the Iser applies, you can solve it with Grufa Uktuma. So one interesting question that let me just at least lay out, I think the way Shechter presents more or less like it's like a three-way machlokas of Rishonim, and it touches on a couple of issues. It already starts with the Rashi and Tosas here on Lamed Vav and Beis. Tosas takes a pretty straightforward approach to Shehiyah. Look, the Gemara, we saw the Gemara Yechez and Beis says Shemichata, Shemichata. We're worried that the fire, that you have an open fire and you have food on top, and you want to accelerate the cooking process, you'll be tempted to poke around the fire, and that's a malacha. Okay. So what's a solution? We see the problem. How is Grufa Ketuma a solution? Mishnah says it's a solution, Mishnah Lamed Vav. How is that a solution? The Pashup Shad is a solution because, well, Garuf means either I shoveled out the coals entirely, so there's nothing to poke around, or the Ran here, at the beginning of the third parak, says I shoved the coals to the side. Ketuma means I covered a nasana sa'efer. I covered it with ash. Kitma is ash. So how does it help to shove the coals to the side or to cover them with ash? Or we do, we cover the blech. I cover something, plastic cover. How does that help? How does it help? I want to stoke the fire. Right? So Pashup Shat, what Tosfos says is, look, it's a heker. It's there to remind you, just like the Yulim Masechet Sukkah, so you came across the opening Mishnah in Ervin, right? Lechi Vekora is a tikkun why. It's not that it's going to bar me from leaving the Mavoi, but I'll remember there's something that reminds me, hey, I'm about to leave the Mavoi. Ooh, I'm about to step into Shazaram. It's a heker, it's a reminder. There's Pashup Shad and Grufa Ketuma is by shoving the coals to the side or by covering them, there's a reminder. If I'm going to want to go and poke the coals to raise the heat, or we would say, I want to turn the knob to add gas to raise heat, I'm going to do something to remind me, oh, Shabbos, yikes, I better not do that. Right? That's the simplest way to understand it. The entire goal of Grufa Ketuma is to serve as a heker. There's something covering the coals. It's a little unusual. Usually don't cover coals with ashes. Seems a little counterproductive. It definitely doesn't help the cooking process. Right? Or why the coals are all on the side. Certainly the coals are out of the oven entirely. It's something that's going to remind me either it's impossible or at least to stoke it, or at least there's something that reminds me, oh, it's a little different. That's my red flag. That's a flashing light that tells me, you know, stop, don't stoke. Al-Kadekach, that contemporary Acharonim and the previous generation, Rav Moshe Feinstein and others, had a debate, what do you do with a modern gas oven? Because the heat, and if you have a coal fire, the source of the heat is where you do the adjusting. But bizman hazeh, the heat source is a gas fire. But you don't, if you want to adjust the fire, you don't stick anything into the fire, you turn the knob. So the question is, which one is Grufa Ketuma? To cover the fire or to cover the knob? So Rav Moshe Feinstein says he thinks Maker Adin the Takana was to make a heker at the fire, but it probably is a good idea to also cover the knobs. And there are others who say, no, you really have to cover the knobs. Because the point Shavi Echad, you need a heker when you're going to want to turn the knob. In the days of Chazal, the knob was in the fire, so to speak. Right? The access point, the modification point was the fire itself. But that's a shiloh. What's the nature of the heker? The takada was to make a heker at the heat source. The takada was to make a heker at the adjustment point, at the lever, at the dial. So that's an interesting shiloh. That's all built on the assumption, like Tosis and the others, other Rishonim, that it's all just, the whole point of Grufa Ketuma is just to create a heker. To remind, to make it somewhat less likely, a speed bump, somewhat less likely that I'll violate chitwin. On the other extreme, there's a Rashi here, which Tosis is very bothered by. This Rashi, Rashi says, this is Hatmana. There is an Isser, I mentioned, the Isser Shihia Chazara, there's also an Isser Hatmana, which we will get to as Zvan progresses. I'm not allowed to insulate food. If it's on Shabbos, I'm not allowed to even insulate food in a neutral cover. They'll just take a blanket that the fire went out, so obviously make sure to turn off the gas. Ideally, if you can, without bothering muksa, okay, turn off the gas with your toes, whatever. Turn off the gas. Open gas is kuach nefesh. If you can't turn off the gas with your toes, you a mitzvah daraisa, turn off the gas with your fingers. Absolutely. Right? If the fire is out and the gas is flowing, that's we have to kuach nefesh. Okay, so you can turn the gas off. But lamaisa now, you're safe. You're safe, Baruch Hashem, but your food is starting to get cold. And people aren't home from shul yet. So you might be tempted to say, I'll take a towel, I'll take a blanket, I'll just throw it over, the fire's out, so I'll just, cover the food with blankets so that it stays warm. So that's an Isser of Hatmana. On Shabbos, you cannot do Hatmana even with something neutral, like Devar HaMam in Hevel, something that's not adding any heat, it's just not pumping any heat into the situation, it's just gonna slow down the cooling process. It's going to keep some of the heat in. Now, on Shabbos, that's also. Before Shabbos, that's fine. But before Shabbos, what you cannot do is Hatmana B'davar HaMosif Hevel. To do Hatmana in a way that adds heat. Either you have some sort of substance, Mishnayos in the fourth paragraph talk about substances that sometimes have, that generate some heat. Or, a more likely case, is I have an urn and I cover it. I sell that, right? Unfortunately, some well-meaning people sell these like beautiful covers for urns that look like almost like velvet, like the velvet and gold look almost like it's like a Sefer Torah cover. Sometimes they'll say at Shabbos Kodesh, keep your urn extra hot, so you can have super geshmaka hati for those who like it extra hot. On your Shabbos, your I will's line is they're just missing one word. It shouldn't say Shabbos Kodesh; it should say Chilul. Shabbos Kodesh. Because if you have an urn and you cover it with a jacket that fully encases it, except for the bottom, you have the bottom, you have the element, and the sides and top are covered by a jacket, so that's Hatmana, but it's not only Hatmana, it's Hatmana B'mosiv Hevel. You have a system that's covering it and that's adding heat. There's heat being pumped in by the element on the bottom. So that's Asa Hatmana B'davar HaMosiv Hevel, is Asa even before Shabbos. You cannot even set that up on Erev Shabbos and allow that system to persist. So again, important sidebar, we'll come back in a moment to Rashi. There are two Yisurim of Hatmana. On Shabbos, you can't do Hatmana even if it's Mamed Hevel, even if it's a neutral item that's just sort of keeping some of the heat in. If you say that from Erev Shabbos, then it's only Aser if it's Mosiv Hevel. Now it's not keeping some of the heat in, it's even pumping some heat. Not that saying it's going to get incredibly hot, but at least it's going to add some heat to the situation. It's covered from all sides. There's something that's touching it. It's covering it. It's in the Kli Rishon. You cover the Kli Rishon with something else. Cover from all sides. Pumping some heat in. That's Asur from before Shabbos. Rashi says that's Shehiya. Rashi seems to say that Shehiya somehow is like Hatamana B'davar HaMosiv Hevel. Wow. Why? Because it's on top of the fire and more heat is coming in. Tosis gets very bothered. It doesn't look like Hatmana. It's not covered from the only heat coming from the bottom, but it's not covered from the side. Even if it's inside an oven, but the oven walls aren't touching the pot, this doesn't really seem like Hatmana. So you have the position of Tosis. It's just straightforward Shemi Echate. All you need is the Hagufa Ketumah provides the Heker. On the other extreme, you have Rashi, who says, no, it's somehow like a type of Hatmana. Even though it's not covered from all sides, apparently since it's like an actual fire, even from one side there's a problem, Hatmana B'davar HaMosiv Hevel. And therefore, the goal of Gufa Ketuma is not just to be a reminder, but it's actually to somehow tamp down the heat. You're putting ashes on the coals, that's going to significantly decrease the heat-giving capability of the coals. You're partially extinguishing them. Or you're taking them, moving the coals to the side. And it's no longer agave esh, or it's agave esh, but it's an esh that's being significantly compromised. That's the approach of Rashi. According to Rashi, the Chazon Ish points out, a blech is very suspect, because a blech is a great heat conductor. So the blech is not really doing much to significantly decrease the heat flow. So according to Tosfos, the blech is fine. It's a hacker. You're going to bump into that when you're trying to touch the fire, whether you're covering the fire, you're covering the knob, whatever it is. But a piece of metal for Tosfos, it's fine. For Rashi, Chazon Ish points out, we better figure out something else that's not a great conductor. It has to be like ashes that's somewhat of an insulator. And then there is an in-between position, Rabbeinu Chanal and some others, who are quoted by the Mishnah Berurah. They say not that's mamish. Anytime there's heat from the bottom, it's a problem. Every shahia is a problem of hatmana. But they say if it's actually touching the fire, it's not being touched on all sides by Davra Mazin, but it is the fire is directly touching from the bottom. So then Rabbi Chanal says, okay, so that if it's no geya be'esh, that's the problem, which we Mikra did not accept either. But the Mishnah Berurah says, oh, maybe you should think about that. You have a blech. You have a blech. So then the pot is not directly touching the fire. The pot is touching the blech, which is touching the fire. So it's not no geya. Even that's already a chumrah. Just to clarify once again. Is a goal of Grufa Ketuma, the way Rashi says, we do not accept the most robust position, that the fact that there's heat flowing up from below is somehow like Hatamana V'davar Mosav Hevel, which is also to set up on Erev Shabbos, and therefore Grufa Ketuma is really there to intercept the heat and significantly reduce the heat to the extent that we would no longer call it Davar HaMosav Hevel. That's a radical position, and that is not acceptable halacha. L'chora, the Chazon Ish does want to entertain it. That would say that you cannot use a metal blech. You need to use some other substance, that's ceramic, maybe a fire retardant plastic, something that's really gonna, or ashes, like the Mishnah said. Find ashes, and that's gonna really tamp down the heat. That's a generally not accepted, though the Chazon Ish does accept it. We usually assume like the other extreme, Tosfos and others, that it's just plain Shema Yichata. And therefore, all you need from your Grufa Ketuma is a little bit, a hecker, just get in the way. Just something to remind me to think twice before I adjust the fire. So that's how we assume Ikra Din. A blech is totally fine. And then there will also be situations where you don't even need a blech. And let's say if you hold that mistan for yafel, there's no problem shahia, I'm good to go. Without a blech, let even touch the fire. What's the problem? No ksarim shem yichata. And then we had, I don't know if I call it in between position or sort of a separate point, maybe even better thing of a separate point, but sometimes we'll end up coming up in between Rashi and Tosfos, is Rabbeinu Chanan will raise this issue, which Mishnah Berurah wants to entertain. If your mom is touching the fire, even if it's no problem, shahia, but mom is touching the fire, that's really like hatamana, that's too close to hatamana. So even if it's no problem, shahia, you should still put in a blech just to get in the way. But a blech certainly works, even if it's a piece of metal. And again, that's sort of like a side point. So again, what we have here is sort of this core machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. Tosfos presents what seems to be the simple reading of the Gemara Yud Ches Amei. Shehiya is a gzeir sham yachata. And therefore, Grufa Ketuma is just a hecker, shol yachata. Rashi already has a more complex look. The sham yachata, someone's linking me back into Hatamana, and that's a larger story. And then already, we want our Grufa Ketuma to actually tamp down the heat. I should close by saying that when we get to Hachazar, we'll see there too, there is a machlokas. That's already a broader machlokas, Ashkenazim and Sephardim. The Balayatosis think that Hachazara also put the fire back on Shabbos is also a problem. Shem Yechate, you put it on, you're going to want it to move quickly. And the Chachmei Svarah say, no, I agree with you that the Shehiyah was just Shem Yechate. If you actually put the food on actively on Shabbos, maybe that's already some sort of Bishul. Mechzi Kimavasho, which we assume means it's like a Bishul Drabbanan. And with that, we sort of close the circle. So let's just recap. I'm glad to hang around for questions, but let's just recap and we'll head down to the Beis Medrash. Again, we focus on Shehiyah, and we spoke about three major themes. Number one, the question is of the overall context and framework into which Shehiya fits. Questions of Shvisus Kalim, questions of Gezeres versus Malacha. And number two is the question of when Shehiya applies, Machlokes Hananya and Chachamim. And we broke out into three sub-points. Number one, the discussion, the Gemara about Mitznab, what's the Shvisus Chachamim when you're in the Mitznab Viafalos zone. Number two was the Machlokes between Rajba and other Rishonim in terms of does Grufuk Tumah help before Machal Ben Drusai? And finally, the topic of Kedir Chaisa. So that was issue number, that was the second set of issues of when. And then we spoke a little bit about the whole idea of Grufuk Tumah, how that's a solution, and sort of moving from the Mishnah and Daf Yotes to Mishnah Lama Vav, what's a solution that got us to the core of what drives the Isser Shehiya. And again, let's leave Rabbi Hanal out on the side, because Rabbi Hanal sort of like it sometimes is relevant, may function as a third sheet, not really a third sheet so much in Shehiya. Two major sheets, and again, appeared right in Lam Vav and Beis, Tosos and Rashi. Is this really just Shem Yechata, Tosos? In which case, any blech is fine. Or like Rashi, that this is like a, we see this as somehow a type of Hatmana, but never Amosad Heva, Libo Yom, in which case the group of Tumani needs to tamp down the heat. And again, closed by pointing out the Hakazara. Also, there is a not same, but there is also Machlokas. Is it merely Shem Yechata by Tosos, or is it actually a Bishul Drabanan, the Chachmei Sfar? Chavri Ashikach, there's plenty to go. This, again, I hope I accomplished the goal that we set at the beginning, which was sort of lay out a lot of the issues. And as we continue to learn, hopefully a lot of what I spoke about will fit in more and more. We have a framework to really put all the details together.